our guest speaker, because our guest speaker has other engagements. Thank you all for attending. This is the Senior Citizen Engagement Committee meeting. And today we have a speaker from the department, which I did not even know existed, the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. I'd like to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. And since Carolyn hasn't logged on yet, Jim, would you be so kind as to...
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one
nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim. Elizabeth, would you please do the roll call?
Certainly. Tony Alabado.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Busick, here. Carol Downey. Scott Figg. Elaine Genoway. Sherry Horn. Carolyn Inman. Jim Levy.
Here.
Nalita Mendoza. John Pointer.
Here.
Tony Rodella. Dave Tetzloff.
Here.
Evelyn Velez.
Here.
Desiree, do we have a quorum?
We do. We do. For standing committees, it's 25%.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Carolyn Inman just signed on. Okay. And Tony Alavado, are you bringing your cat to the meeting today?
Am I bringing what?
Are you bringing your cat to the meeting today?
No, I shut the door to, because, you know, they love the computer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're down another attendee then. he's our most regular attendee.
The cats are the only ones that love computers anymore.
Okay, I want to do the introductions. The introduction really is of our guest speaker, but you might want to tell our guest speaker who you are. So can we just do that briefly? I'm going to start with Desiree.
Hi, Jackie. So I work with the County of Orange Community Services Programs, and basically my role in the committee is just to kind of get the agendas going, share those for the public, and arrange speakers so that you get access to our Zoom and so forth. So I'm more the support role.
Okay. And the meeting is recorded and posted on the Orange County website. Jim, would you introduce yourself to Jackie?
Yes, I'm Jim Levy. I'm a senior assemblyman of the California Senior Legislature. And one of the things that we do is put together proposals each year to improve the quality of life of seniors. And this top 10 goes on to the state legislature for their support.
Thank you, Jim. Tony, do you want to introduce yourself briefly to Jackie?
Tony Alavado, me?
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
Yeah, hi, yeah, Tony Alavado. I'm a member of the Ledge Committee, retired from Internal Revenue Service, and owner of three cats.
Elizabeth.
Hi. I'm also a member of the California Senior Legislature, and John Pointer is really the head of it, and he's right here with us. And I have chaired this committee when it was called the Legislative Committee. And we're, I think, really looking forward to hearing what you have to tell us.
Okay. I love your background.
I know. It looks like she's
a flower in the garden.
I'm a flower person. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, let's hear from John, since you have been referenced twice now.
Good morning. John Pointer,
California Senior Legislature. I think everyone's described for me what we do, so I don't think, Jackie, I need to go into any further depth on that. So welcome. I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
Okay, and Dave, and would you also just mention a little bit about the computer program that you and your committee got kicked off?
All right. I'm Dave Tetzloff, originally from Wisconsin. So the background on the screen is Lake Mendota on the University of Wisconsin campus. I'm a member of SCAC, sits on the executive board as a standing committee member, serve on the California Senior Legislature, served on this committee since I started. And the most recent responsibility was coordinating the report to the Board of Supervisors on the digital divide, submitting a report, submitting a request to help fund 2,200 additional iPads to county residents in need. That was approved, and the program, I think, the distribution of those 2,200, 2,500 computers that I will be giving in my report is almost complete. So it's been a very successful program, and I think has taken on statewide prominence, because I know there was a report given to the 4CA conference that was just held this last week. And that will be additional in my report. So looking forward to your presentation, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Carolyn.
Hi, my name's Carolyn Inman. I was in education, teaching, and then leadership for 40 years. And now I'm a trustee on the South Orange County Community College District for Area 1, which is essentially most of Irvine. And one of my goals is to coordinate what I do with seniors and what I do with the colleges. And the two things that I'm starting off, first of all, are I'm working on tech tutors. We had that about set up when the person I was working with got promoted from vice president of Irvine Valley to vice chancellor of the whole district. Quite a huge, you know, promotion for him. So I'll start off with new people as the school year, you know, starts up again. And then the other one is that in Irvine, people really don't know much about the Emeritus College. Not like when I'm hanging around with you guys, everybody goes to a class, you know, or knows about it or something. That's not true in our town. So I want to try to build some bridges there, because I think that the seniors in Irvine need more to do and they don't even know it's right on the corner. So that's my goal. And it's really nice to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Lillian.
Good morning, Jackie and committee members. My name is Lillian Maruta. I am a project manager for the Area Agency on Aging for Orange County. We provide senior services such as Meals on Wheels, legal services, adult day health care, community services. What else is there? A plethora of services within Orange County for seniors.
Okay. Thank you, Lillian, and thank you all for being here on our last day before summer break. I want to move on to our presentation, Jackie Wiley. She is a targeted outreach specialist, and she started her career with the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation in the Enforcement Division, serving on the front lines of consumer services. Since 2001, she has dedicated her work in the community, frequently speaking on financial literacy topics to inform seniors on how to recognize the warning signs of financial and investment fraud and scams, mortgage foreclosure frauds, and to help consumers of all ages in making informed financial decisions. Thank you very much, Jackie. We really appreciate your being here.
Well, thank you for having me. And I am a huge, huge believer that our older adults, the senior audiences, are prime targets for scams, you know, by way of cognitive impairment or just being vulnerable or just being isolated and things like that. So let me go ahead and just share my screen. And I know that time is of the essence. And Evelyn said I had 20 minutes to speak. So I am going to be speaking pretty fast. Okay, so just a little bit about me. You know, she gave you my bio, but I've been doing outreach probably since the year of 2001, where the Seniors Against Investment Fraud Program was established. And Evelyn said something earlier that she never heard of our department, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Maybe you heard of this. We are formerly the Department of Business Oversight, and nothing has changed but our name. We have been around for a very long time, but on September 25th of 2020, as you see, Governor Newsom signed AB 1864 and AB 07 into law, which created, the new California Consumer Financial Protection Law. And throughout this presentation, I'm going to just shorten and say DFPI instead of the whole shebang, because it's just a mouthful. So what it did, it renamed the Department of Business Oversight to now whom we are, which is the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. It gave the department some expanded authority to protect California consumers from financial fraud and pandemic-inspired scams. It also created a Division of Consumer Financial Protection, which supervises financial services that were not regulated by the DFPI. Prior to us being the Department of Business Oversight, we were actually the Department of Corporations. So I've been around for three name changes already. Okay, so that's what happened and why we have a new name and why most of people have not heard of the DFPI. So what is our role and what do? We are California's regulatory and licensing agency with oversight of state financial institutions, products, and professionals. So such as state chartered credit unions and banks, financial lenders, those of us who own homes, you have to work with a financial lender. So we license and regulate them. Mortgage lenders and services, student loan services, the payday advance the facilities, escrow agents, PACE administrators, and I'm going to touch about the PACE program in my presentation today. And with this new CFPL coming into law, remember I said that it gave us some expanded authorization and power. So now we have oversight over credit repair and consumer report companies, debt collectors, and that's thanks to SB 908, which is the first in California ever that debt collectors, the buyers, as well as the attorneys are being regulated by an agency, and that's us. And we also are now overseeing rent-to-own contracts. So we also partner with other federal, state, and local agencies, and we conduct audits to ensure state and federal compliance. We review all the consumer complaints that come in our department, and we pursue legal actions, again, partnering with the other agencies against those who are operating illegally and are using unlawful, deceptive, and abusive practices. And we're seeing so much of that now, especially since the pandemic took place, which caught everybody off guard. And so that's kind of why we use the terminology pandemic-inspired scams, because they're common scams, but they have become heightened and more visible. The other thing that we do is, you know, I am with the targeted outreach unit. I'm one of the specialists. My area of practice is basically the Southern California area. I'm housed in Los Angeles. So our unit provides presentations, bringing consumer awareness throughout California to help protect consumers from falling prey to scams and frauds. My area is basically the Los Angeles County, all the way down to Ventura, probably to the tip of San Diego. I've been doing outreach since the year 2001. My focus, and we all have the different demographics that we specialize in or that we deal with. So we are bringing awareness to our seniors, military and veterans, new Americans, immigrants, students, as well as homeowners. So our financial literacy presentations are vast, and we do different subjects, okay? So one of the things that I wanted to start with is the home improvement. We're hearing a lot about people entering into a PACE financing program. And if you're unfamiliar with what PACE is, it's Property Assessed Cleaned Energy. And it's a financing program that provides homeowners help to get energy efficient and water saving improvements to their properties. There are people who can pay outright. There are people who may need some assistance to help finance their project. But what we're seeing is because we license and regulate the administrators and the PACE industry, we're seeing an abundance of older adults, young adults, people who are doing home improvements. They are not educated about this program. And so when they are being solicited, they are being misrepresented about the cost of the project or the repayment of the loan, and they're omitting information to creditors, okay? It sounds like it's claiming no money down and no out-of-pocket costs, which of course gives the impression that the services are free. But if you stop and think about it, somebody has to be paying for the $15,000 window treatments that I now want, you know, to be installed into my home. And we're also understanding that people are not privy to the information that this is not a free government program as it's being solicited as, and homeowners have to pay back this funding through their annual property taxes. So many people have entered into the financing agreement and now are struggling with property tax payments because it's either doubled or tripled. And a lot of them are at risk of losing their homes. A lot of individuals have signed the agreement, and then you have a scammer of a contractor leaving the work incomplete, such as this picture with holes in the walls, not coming back, and the work hasn't been permitted. So we instill in our consumers that don't let the contractor be in your home and say, oh, wow, this is really nice. Have you thought about upgrading your cabinets? Have you thought about updating your kitchen countertops to granite? And people say, oh, that would be really good. Well, we can do that for you. But remember, the PACE is only for energy efficient and water saving improvements. Your countertops and your cabinets don't have anything to do with that. So people are being coaxed into tacking on other projects within the home, and it's not with a part of the PACE program. So we instill that you do your homework. Please, please, before signing the contract, be sure to check with the licensing of the contractor that you're choosing, with the CSLB, which is the Contractor State License Board, and to please verify the lender that is going to be over the project with the DFPI. There's the website, the link there to contact us to learn about the risk and the laws pertaining to PACE financing, okay? So let's get into the meat of the presentation. So again, some common and pandemic-inspired financial frauds and scams. We all know that there's so many scenarios that have been created and to defraud us. And the sole purpose, we all know, is to gain access to our personal information and, of course, to our money. You know, since we've been sheltered at home for a number of years, you know, my phone rings all day, every day, even more so than what it used to, because the scammers know that we're home and they're offering so many different opportunities. People are struggling financially. You know, you might get a phone call with someone maybe wanting to help you consolidate your loan, help you change your APR, lower your APR on your credit cards. But what we're hearing and what's trending, of course, is first and foremost that grandparent relative scam. I don't know how many people in the audience today have received a call like that or know someone who has, and the caller, you know, says that, you know, hey, grandma, it's me, you know, and my friends and I got into some trouble. We were drinking and we got pulled over and now we're going to possibly be arrested. And they say, if we come up with $2,000 right now, they, you know, won't put us in jail. They will put the officer, quote unquote, on the line, and he will proceed to tell you how to make the payment by going down to, let's say, Walmart and put $500 increments on gift cards, come back, call this number and scratch the back of it, and then they will let the child go. So before you do anything, please verify the information of the caller, that the call that you're receiving in relation to that. We have had individuals receive the call and actually the child was sitting right next to the parent or the relative, you know. So verify all your information before you do anything. We're hearing a lot about Social Security, that your card is being frozen. So we should all know that the government agencies won't call you. So if you get that phone call, and 9 times out of 10, for me, it has been a recording, and it'll tell me to press 1. But of course, I let it go to my voice machine, so I can't press the 1. But then it'll instruct me to call this particular phone number. I implore to you, before you call back any number that is left on your voice message, go to the source yourself. If you get that call about Social Security, call the Social Security Administration just to verify and confirm the information. And just first and foremost, remember, government agencies don't call you for anything like that. The other thing is credit cards. We're hearing, you know, individuals getting phone calls from their supposed credit card company. If you have a credit card from Visa and someone calls you and they're wanting to verify or update their records, why are you asking me for my account number? If I've been a customer for many years, and you know, you should have that information. So we're hearing a lot about that. Offers to lower your APR. Again, you did not initiate the phone call, so don't always believe the caller. You don't know who is on the other end of the line. Financial relief opportunities. And like I said, we are now regulating and licensing debt collectors. We're hearing so many callers or complaints that are coming into our unit where they're being harassed by debt collectors, which we all know is a third party trying to collect on a debt they say that you owe. If you know you don't owe it, simply hang up and disregard the call. People are complaining about being harassed all day, every day. There's laws and protections that they are not following. And unfortunately, there are individuals who, you know, say, well, what can I do to rectify the situation? Why? Because they're being talked to with profanity, the threats. If you don't pay right now, you know, this is going to happen or that is going to happen. You need to pay it right now. Don't pay it. Don't believe it if you know that you don't owe it. Okay. So let's talk about the government. On the right-hand side, imposter scams. We're hearing so much, and even our agency has gotten an alert from an individual who was dealing with an escrow company, and they saw the email, but it was a bogus company that was pretending to be legitimate. They were using our logo to say that they were licensed through our agency. So remember, all consumers, you're our eyes and our ears. If we don't know about it, we can't do anything about it. So one of the calls that we're hearing is the utility scam. You know, calling from the DWP saying that they work in the delinquent department and says that your services are going to be cut off if you don't pay it by 5 o'clock. Don't worry, we can take a check by phone. We can use your credit card number, but you need to pay it right now. Again, if you stop and think about it, why would a DWP or your light company, your gas company be calling you to remind you that your bill is delinquent? We will get a notice in the mail with a red stamp that says past due, please pay now. Government agencies don't call you. The IRS is not going to call you to tell you that you owe back taxes and it's time for you to pay up. We hear that all the time. So with financial institutions, you know, wanting to verify information, please don't fall for that. Charity scams. We all know that with any disaster, scammers surface and they say that they are providing financial help. We will want you to be a part of this fundraiser. You know, would you mind giving, you know, to Ukraine, to Haiti, to wildfires, and et cetera. So before you do that, again, think about this presentation where the call came to you. And please know that the sheriff's department, the police department, and the fire department do not call to solicit. If someone calls and they identify themselves as such, you need to hang up and call your local PD, sheriff, or fire department to let them know about that. Okay. Another thing that we're hearing about is affinity fraud. People don't even know what that word means, and what it preys on members of identifiable groups, such as religious or ethnic community, the elderly, and even professional associations. So they're pretending to be members of the association or group. They're using one individual, such as myself. And if we're all in this meeting together, we know each other. So if I come and say, you know what, Evelyn, I met with a person and the opportunity sounds really good. You know, we can make some money, you know, and I'll go on and talk to her about it. But because we are associated, friends, group, or whatever, she's probably more than likely going to believe me and maybe think about coming in, but don't allow. So they're using me to spread the word about the scheme by convincing others to come into a fraudulent investment, which sounds legitimate and would be worthwhile. No matter how trustworthy I am, have been, and there's never an intention to harm her, you still need to do your due diligence with verifying all the information. Always go to the source yourself. Advance fees. Help is usually free. We all know that. There's an abundance of governmental agencies that have resources. If you're looking for a modification, if you wanted to refinance, if you want to lower your APR, go to the source yourself instead of having someone offer you some assistance, something as simple as upgrading your cable, but you have to pay $300 to do that. This is a true story. A gentleman just went through that and he got the phone call and he said that he would do it. He paid it by phone and he never heard from them again and his cable was never upgraded. So if someone is offering you something but you have to pay upfront fee for it, proceed with caution or just don't bother to buy into that. So most of the scams that I talked about today, there's just so many more. I mean, the car warranty, the tech scam, you know, about your computer and things like that. These are coming through phones, but we also have to remember that scammers are on the internet emailing us and they're also texting us. So I wanted to talk some about cyber safety. So we know that Californians, many of us are turning to alternative digital methods. And let's start with online use. we're all possibly banking and checking out banking information online. We're shopping, we're transferring money, you know, via Zelle, PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. If you remember at the onset of the pandemic, if you were to go somewhere to maybe the grocery store, some places were not accepting cash. So you needed to use either your credit card or your debit card to make the purchase. You know, you're sending money to family and friends. So how do you know that the site that you're using is secure? At the top here, secure internet, you should see the S, HTTP, and that S stands for secure. You should see the lock, closed. And please, one of the biggest things that we're not doing is we're not paying attention to the link, and we're not hovering over it to verify where it's coming from. Does it look legitimate? And the extension. And what is happening is there are copycat / bogus sites. And these sites are intended to mirror the official looking website. True story, an individual, you know, was shopping for Amazon, you know, Amazon.com, C-O-M. When you do shopping online, you know that you're going to get the email that verifies and confirms that your order was taken, and we'll email you or text you when it's being shipped. She gets a second email, and it says that something happened with her information that she needs to re-enter it. So she proceeded to re-enter in her credit card information. And once she hit the button, she noticed that it was Amazon.com, C-O-N, a mirrored site. So you have to pay attention to the extensions and hover over the links. These copycat sites, you know, if you click in them, it carries malware that affects the computer and allows criminals to even have access to track your keystrokes and gain private information. And I know that you talked about the distribution of the computers. So these are some things that the people that are getting the computers need to know. You need to also think about a two-step verification, which is an added layer of protection on your cell phone, on your computer. And what that is, it's an authentication code that actually comes to you when you are logging in. I have to do it every single day. And depending on what apps I'm using for work, I'll get this pop-up and I'll have to verify my password, and then the code will come to me. A lot of banks are wanting individuals to do that. Again, it's that added layer of protection. And let's start thinking about logging out or remembering to log out the apps when we're completing a transaction, or just going on there just to check your balance or your account. Remember to log out of the apps that we're using. Let's think about changing passwords. You know, gone are the days where you would normally use my anniversary, my kid's birthday, my mom's maiden name. We need to start making it a little harder for the hackers to hack into the computer. So if you have a passphrase, that is a little bit more difficult for a hacker to break. So a passphrase instead of a password that's very simple or normally used. Okay, let's talk about this limitation of personal information. Yay, I'm happy that you're on Facebook. And when you get new equipment or upgrade your phones, and now that these people are going to be on computers, they have iPads, and you know, you get taught how to get on Facebook and you're excited about that, you need to limit your personal information. We don't need to know that you're going to be on vacation from June 1st through the 15th. That is an open box for Pandora for a possibility for robbers to know that you're not home. So remember to limit your personal information. I wanted to put this slide up here so that you can understand some of the things that I'm saying when it comes to cyber. So not only do people phish, P-H-I-S-I-N-G, on the computer when you're browsing or searching, Google searching, there's something called vishing, which means voice phishing. So a picture up here, I know I get unknown caller calling all the time. Why would I be answering that? And if the unknown caller, which is identified here, leaves me a voice message, I'm not going to return the call. I don't care if he's identifying themselves as an institution or an organization that I'm familiar with, because remember, in this presentation, I'm saying, don't call back the number because you did not initiate the call, that utility company or whatever the case may be. Go to the source yourself. Another vishing way of vishing is the scam, the text messages. I have your package. Oh, wow, you're going to get $101 loyalty royal fees, you know, if you do A, B, or C. These text messages come to you. If you know that you did not order a package or you're waiting on a shipment, don't click into the link. Down below that, I'm speaking about this Zelle payment. Did you make a payment through Zelle for $5,000? Please reply yes or no. Do not reply no if you didn't do it, because remember, when you do Zelle, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, what are you doing? You are the one that is doing the action. So if you know you didn't do the action in sending a payment, don't reply to this. I'm saying don't even say no. Why? On the news, a young lady did this. She got this email, she got this text message, and she called the number. She replied no. The minute she said no, her phone rang and the individual identified himself as a person from the bank and said, oh, I see that there's been a problem. You know, you're saying that you didn't send the Zelle payment. And she proceeded to provide him all kinds of information with her banking. And while he was on the phone with her, someone else was depleting her account at the same time. So if you know that you did not do the action, there's no need for you to reply. And if you have a question about it, you call your bank immediately. This message here from Chase Bank, and you get this code, these are called smishing text messages, which is short messaging. And it's just a simple message to say, hey, your card has been temporarily blocked. Please call this number. Don't call the number that's in the text message ever. That, again, you don't know where it originally came from. You go to the source yourself and you call the bank yourself. So verify all your information, not from the text message or the information that has been sent to you. Go to the source yourself. All right. Online romance scams. She looks very comfortable on her bed. You know, we're hearing so much about the online romance, sweetheart swindle, whatever you want to call it. Seniors are excited to be a part of modern technology. A lot of us are lonely. We've been isolated. We're not only welcoming attention from a phone call, which could be a scammer, or getting a person in an opportunity that does not mean them any good. But we are also doing online dating. We're playing words with friends. There's people who see your profile and someone becomes in love with you. You're just so beautiful. I just wanted us to connect and start telling them about yourself. But I'm going to say this, 3,000 Californians fell victim to online romance scams just last year, losing a total of nearly $184 million, according to the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center. So we have to think, we're on Facebook, someone's more than likely seeing your profile and, you know, they're befriending you and they're loving you, and they tell you to take the conversation offline, and you'll say, oh my goodness, I wish that we can meet in person. There's an excuse as to why that can't happen. I wish I can see you. Don't your phone have FaceTime? 9 times out of 10, everybody's phone has FaceTime, okay? Not unless you have the flip phone, and if you do, you might want to do better. But you know, with the, you know, 9 times out of 10 people have FaceTime, and what they'll tell you is, you know, my phone doesn't have FaceTime, but I would like to be able to upgrade it, but I really don't have the money for that. But because you're so smitten and they're calling you every day and your love is blossoming, you're offering money. What we're seeing now, not just with little things like that, not little, but, you know, paying for different things for your new lover, they're saying things like, hey, you know, I have an uncle who's really good at investing with cryptocurrency. Are you familiar with that? Of course I'm not familiar with it. I don't know anything about it. Well, don't worry. You know, he's really good at teaching. They are coaxing older adults and opening up Robinhood accounts or coming into cryptocurrency investments. And it looks legitimate. It appears legitimate the first time you go into it. The FTC estimates that Americans lost $750 million to cryptocurrency scams in 2001, and it's rising. We just did a press release where our agency is going to try to get some kind of laws and handles on cryptocurrency purchases and buying, and people are even using cryptocurrency to buy and sell their homes. But an older adult, when someone is offering that information, you need to do your homework, you know. So this is what we're seeing, and they're depleting their monies. Like I said, it looks legitimate. You can see it. You can take it out the first time, maybe the second time. But after that, it really has been a bogus setup. So please be mindful about online romance scams, and you don't have to be in love with your computer mate, okay? So a lot of information, you know, the telephone, it's best to just hang up. And again, I can't say it enough to not call the number left on your answering machine, even if the viewer says Internal Revenue Service, well, why are they calling me? You get notifications like that in the mail. If you owe, if you're delinquent, those kind of things. And even if it's your financial institution, don't always believe the messenger. You can check with your phone company to block or set up scam likely calls. When my phone rings and it's a number that I don't recognize, it'll switch over and it'll say scam likely. So you can check with your phone company to see if they can block the number that is constantly calling you. But you know, one number blocked, another number comes in. You sign up for the Do Not Call registry. Yes, I know that, that you're still going to get phone calls, even if you are on that Do Not Call registry list. But it is a method that the FTC has to check. Online, we talked about that investment opportunities. All money is not good money. I want to jump down to mail. Please shred. Don't leave your mail out in the box with the red flag sign. We still unfortunately have people who are doing dumpster diving as well as going by and stealing mail. I don't know how many people still do write checks. Everybody does not have automatic withdrawals from their accounts, but if you're still writing checks, please be mindful and know that there is a check washing solution that people can buy and can check wash your check. So if you are writing checks, I'm suggesting for you to get an anti-fraud gel pen, which is purchased at Office Depot, Staples, and it will say that on the packet itself. Credit versus debit. We're still hearing about the undetected skimmers. These were known to absolutely show up at gas stations or outside ATM machines, but they are starting to show up inside stores. When you're using your card, if you are one to do debit, because of course, you know, once you slide it or put your put your card in and your purchase is complete, you start punching in your PIN number, I say, please press the green button, bypass the debit where you don't have to punch in your PIN number, and then just do credit. It will take the money out just the same, which gives you an extra layer of protection. Okay, credit bureaus, please stay in tune with monitoring your credit. And here's the information about the three credit reporting bureaus. Bottom line to everything that I've said today, always trust your instincts. If it seems too good to be true, 10 times out of 10, it normally is. Never give out your personal information unless you initiated the contact, and always go to the source yourself. How can the FBI help you? Well, here's our website. Again, we're just a new name. We've been around for a long time, still the state governmental agency. We have great resources on our website. We have a toll-free number, which is listed here for our consumer services office. We have live in-person representatives with different language capabilities. We can provide you with information on, of course, how to file a complaint if you feel that you've been a victim. And the most important thing is we can help verify the licensing status of a financial institution, service, or professional that you're thinking about doing business with. And if it's not within our jurisdiction, we will get you to the appropriate agency that can handle your complaint. If you have a question, you can simply email us at AskTheFBI. And then lastly, if you're interested in a publication, which this is one of our publications that has been around for a very long time, inside of it, which has different types of scams, some that I've listed today, others that I have not. It also has a comprehensive resource guide in the back of the book. Sometimes we don't know who to call, who to ask the question to. You can always call us, but that information is there. And it's designed to help you recognize red flags, tools, or warning signs of the different types of frauds and scams. All our booklets are free. Right now we have them in English and in Spanish with other languages upcoming. You can stay in touch with us, get our monthly newsletter, which has information about different consumer alerts, what the department is doing, some of the different laws that we are working on, and just different important notices. We have scam information in there, and you can always follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So thank you. I'm sorry I went over. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was very good. I want to throw out something kind of amazing. One of my cousins, a PhD in biology, just recently got scammed in a way that is just absolutely stunning to me. I mean, for a smart woman who knows about scams, who's actually stopped her sister from being scammed, she ended up she got a PayPal. One of those notices from PayPal saying, you know, I can't even remember what it was. We have a return or something. And she was just taken to the cleaners, but she got her money back through her bank. At least her sister stopped her. So I just say that to say that it doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how savvy you are and how many crimes you have walked past in the past, you know, in the past, it can still happen to you at any time. So Carolyn, you have your hand up.
Yes, my question was, I too, of course, get this all the time. And I know that if they change, if you catch one phone number, they just change to another. But it really annoys me. Is there any way that we can get these people apprehended, you know, give notice that would stop them?
You know, I get that question all the time, and especially when I mention the do not call registry, you know, which is, like right. I said, administered through the FTC. I don't know what laws are in place or what laws we can put in place. And I'm just going to say this is my spiel. No matter what laws, how many laws, people still break them. And we're going to always get phone solicitations. That is why my job is to come out and bring awareness and you know, as much as we possibly can. So to answer to your question, I don't know what government can do to stop that, because you stop one, there's always going to be another one. So it's up to us to do our due diligence. And it's very annoying where you're home and you can't even or don't want to answer your phone anymore. But that is the times that we're living in, unfortunately. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dave.
Let me take me off mute. I just had a gardener coming by with a hairline puller. A quick question. Can you explain what a VPN number is, and do you recommend it with your iPhone and so forth?
Virtual Protection Network is what VPN stands for, and that's a good question. So that is, again, that extra layer of protection that I was talking about, and I'm going to give you an example. When you, sometimes people go to like coffee shops and they bring their iPads and they're on, you know, the website and they're just browsing, be mindful that that does not have the protection from the network that you need. So VPN, Virtual Protection Network. So being at the coffee shop, you are opening up your computer to be hacked at any time because you're not on a secure network. Does that make sense? So be mm-hmm. mindful when you're out there with your computer sitting, you know, at a coffee shop or McDonald's or whatever the case may be, you want to have that authentication, that second layer of protection I talked about, where when you log in at the coffee shop, it will give you a code and then you can do it. But just be mindful. That's number one. And the second thing is people are traveling now. And I'll never forget, and I want to say it was an Orange County DA mentioned the fact that when we're at the airport, you know, it's like, oh God, my phone is getting ready to die. I need to plug it in. And you know, you can plug in your phone to juice it up. Be mindful that there was a device or can be a device undetected to suck the information out of our cell phones while we are juicing them up or getting it charged. So try to remember things like that. When we are out and about, we're not, our computers are not network protected unless we do that, okay?
How do you evaluate the different VPN programs that are available?
That I don't know. I would suggest maybe talking to a tech person, maybe what is it? Did somebody say something?
Oh no, sorry, that was me.
Oh, I don't know how one or which one would be better than the other. I would probably suggest or go into a tech store and inquire about that, and maybe ask your children, because, you know, our kids are very savvy and know this kind of stuff, but I don't know which would be better than the other. So I don't really know how to answer that, Dave.
All right. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine.
Hey, thank you. First of all, I apologize for being late. Our city is still in a state of emergency and I was down at the EOC. And so two things, I hope that you'll be able to share your presentation with us. I mean, that information is very valuable, and then we'll be able to share it as well, or have contact information for organizations that we may belong to have presentations, because we need to get this information out. My other question is, and it may not be within under your umbrella, but is there a department within your organization that would have consumer information on protecting the public against predatory service companies, because that's an issue we're having to deal with right now. We see their trucks lined up on the streets and they're telling residents that the city has authorized them or the city has told them to come in, and their predatory service companies, you know, restoration services and things like that. Do you have a department that has information that we could put out to the public?
If it's not within our jurisdiction, I'd like to take that question back to our unit, the CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, might be able to answer that. And depending upon what service company it is, I mean, if it's a utility company, it could be Public Utilities Commission.
But they're not the utility, because we're working very closely with the utility companies. They're the ones who are going to come in and, you know, get rid of the smoke smell, clean up your carpet, get all the debris out. So something that a homeowner would hire themselves.
Okay, so it's CFPB and also Consumer Affairs.
Okay, so I'll check on their websites then.
Yes, ma'am. I can provide that information for you if you'd like.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
While you're looking that up, can you multitask and give me an example of a passphrase versus a password?
Yes.
Don't give me yours.
I won't. I have so many. But so password, my kid's name, Stephanie, one exclamation word, exclamation point. Passphrase, I love gardening 101, exclamation point. You know, I love could be all caps. Gardening can be capital G, small, you know, then small letters. So you want to give a variety. And sometimes when you are creating your passwords, it'll tell you the string. That's not really a good one, you know. So a phrase is just what it is, a phrase. But of course, write it down somewhere safe. So you'll know when I log into my banking, I'm going to be using this, or on my computer, I'm going to be using that. And I'm going to just say, you know, you could use the phrase and then just have 1, 2, 3, or, you know, something after that. So it kind of is not so many different things, but a phrase. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Miss Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Department of Consumer Affairs, the toll-free number I can provide that is 800-952-5210. And then, of course, the website is www.dca.ca.gov.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Before Desiree, there are two attendees. Would you ask if either of them have questions?
There's one on the chat, Ms. Evelyn.
Ah, okay.
Is where do these scammers get victims' personal data and specific relative relationship in particular?
Well, scammers they purchase our information from different companies that we deal with. Sometimes you'll get that letter in the mail that says, if you want to opt out, you know, or, you know, what we do with your personal information, you know, so they sell it. If you are one to do sweepstakes or enter into drawings, they get your information that way. But 9 times out of 10, your information is purchased from someplace else. As far as the relative scam, when and if you get that phone call, the call starts with, "Grandma, it's me. I haven't said the name yet. So I'm in trouble. You, as the grandparent, will say, "Desiree, is that you? you know, you have just given the name. So we have to be mindful about incoming calls, all calls that we receive, all email, you know, about our banking, about our money is frightening. But go to the source before you provide any information, you know, say, well, you know, honey, let me think about it. And let me, and they'll tell you, don't call my mom or dad. I didn't want them to know that I've been drinking or that we're in trouble. That's why I'm calling you, Granny. You know, my mom got that phone call. So you provided that information. And I've had a consumer do that, but then she'd heard the presentation. So she started asking questions. Well, if this is Desiree, what high school did your mom go to? What's your mom's maiden name? And the caller cursed her and hung up, you know? So there's things that we can do, but try not to provide the name, you know, don't say it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions for Desiree? I know she has another meeting that she preempted us for, to give us this presentation. Thank you very much, Jackie. Sorry, I said Desiree. thank you very much, Jackie. Really appreciate the information. It was just specific enough to give us a better understanding of the issues. And for that, thank you very much.
You're welcome. If you're wanting the PowerPoint, I can certainly send it to you in a PDF. Evelyn, I can send that to you. If anyone is interested in a presentation for another organization, your commission or whatever, and you liked what I said today, you know, don't hesitate to contact me. And Miss Elaine, the CFPB website is consumerfinance.gov. Okay.
This was one of the best presentations ever.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So send us a survey. We'll fill it out.
I'm going to. Thank you. I'll send it with the PowerPoint.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you all. Okay. Continue to be safe. Bye.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Following that, let's go on to old business and the speaker calendar. She was very kind to offer her services at the last minute. I mean, I got her like on Thursday or something, or Wednesday. So let's make sure that the rest of our calendar is looking okay. John, do you think you can find somebody for the C4A? For July 18th, we had been looking at elder abuse. What do you think?
Let me call somebody this week. I'm not sure that's something they're going to have a lot to talk on, but sure, let me see what I can find out.
Okay, a lot of you know what C4A does. I don't necessarily. So even just a presentation on their services would be terrific.
Sure.
Okay. I should confirm for August 15th, the district attorney. You know, we didn't really fill in September 19th. There's a question mark on my list that says OC Public Library. And that could be, that actually could be good in terms of how they disseminate information, a lot of like on abuse, on how, what kind of computer programming they have or computer assistance programs they have. Anything? September 19th?
The Orange County Public Library does have programs for seniors, but I'm not quite sure what you mean about the computer programming that they have.
Well, I didn't mean computer programming. I meant programs on about their about computer use. What services do they have? Like the other day, I heard that you can actually I think you told us that you can actually check out a computer, a laptop. I didn't know.
Yeah, in the library you can. They said they have kiosks in the library, the newer libraries. And then they also have hotspots that you can check out. And that came out during the beginning of COVID.
Okay. Anything else that they do to disseminate information other than put things on bulletin boards?
Well, they also have a lot of online classes that you can take. So that might be something, you know, for those, you know, who are staying home, maybe interested in some of the online classes.
All right. Well, that was just a possibility. We do need a speaker for September 19th. Any suggestions there?
Well, I'll check with the county librarian to see if she has a specific program that she can talk about as it relates to our committee.
Okay.
Then I'll get back to you.
Okay. All right. So you'll see if that's a good fit for us then.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then Desiree is going to be coordinating the Office on Aging update with Erica for October. And then Elizabeth, John Pointer will be our speaker for CSL on November 21st. All right. Any ideas or concerns about our speaker schedule? Okay, then the next thing I wanted to talk about is a special meeting for AB 361. So this has been already coordinated, I believe, Desiree, that the meeting will be on June 10th at 9:30.
Correct. All the standing committees and the full board are scheduled for June 10th for the AB 361.
Okay, so it is important that we show up for these meetings. The last one we had, we almost didn't make quorum. Isn't that right, Elaine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So please put it in your calendars now for...
And it's also very important for everyone to show up because
June 10th.
There was an item that was, I provided the agenda for the meeting, but the incorrect agenda for our last meeting was what was posted. And that did not include the CSL election. So we'll have to do that as well on June 10th.
All right. So that is the SCAC full council monthly meeting and all of these subcommittees starting at 9:30.
Correct.
Okay. Our action item is recommendation to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of members to meet safely in person. Does somebody want to second that, the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Carolyn. All right, Desiree, would you please do a...
It wasn't Carolyn.
Oh, I saw Carolyn's hand and I heard your voice, Elizabeth.
I didn't see Carolyn's hand. Oh, sorry.
Okay, so it was Elizabeth then.
Okay, roll call vote. Tony Olivato.
Let me see here. No.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Carol Downey? Scott Feig? Elaine Genoway?
Aye.
Sherry Horn?
You're muted, Sherry.
I'm not mute. Aye.
Carolyn Inman?
Aye.
Jim Levy? John Pointer?
Aye.
Tony Rodella, Dave Tetzlaff.
Aye.
Evelyn Velez.
Yes.
And that is majority chair.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's go to the subcommittee report. First of all, the Digital Divide Subcommittee. Dave has a little bit more information than what he shared. I just wanted to give Jackie some information of what you had already started because she was very interested. But this is your time now.
Okay, a few things to report on. We heard from Elaine that the last 8 iPads are spoken for. And so I believe those are going to be distributed. So that means all 2,500 iPads have found a home. We also heard that the Office on Aging is receiving an additional $3 million worth of funding that might be able to pass through for additional iPad funding programs. That's down the road. I think that's very early information on that, but we can follow it definitely in time. Let's see. Oh, there was also a report given at the 4CA conference on our program, on the distribution of the iPad programs. And I would like to be able to work with trying to get the slide presentation on that, or having that as part of the October meeting of how successful the program is on that. We also received a report, and I think Elaine distributed that to members of SCAC, on the Orange County, the OC SPA report on aging. And I would recommend everybody taking a look at that. It's an extensive report, some 76 pages. After finishing my talk, I'll put the websites in there so you can go directly to that. I do recommend getting a big computer and reading it on there. It's taking the hand copy paper. It's difficult to read at times, and so reading it on the computer is helpful. Get the PDF file. It did include a report on 4 areas of concern that OCSPA was looking at and will continue to look at. That is the digital divide. Disabilities is the second category. Food insecurity, number 3. And number 4 was social isolation and loneliness. And so there's an extensive report on all 4. As far as the digital divide, that I think starts at page 22, goes through page 1. And there was similar information in that report that we developed for SCAC and for the Board of Supervisors. The report does highlight the approval of the Board of Supervisors for the 2,500 iPads and the other portion of the program. And I think that's what Evelyn was probably reporting at the 4CA meeting. The subcommittee has met, and I think Tony may have reported last time, but we are taking a look at doing a survey of those that received or requested the iPad, taking a look at the other portion, those that are using the, I can't remember it right now, but the computer lessons, and seeing who's participating in that, with an additional thought process of looking at this at a zip code by zip code basis, where we can ultimately do a study that may develop into a digital connection number, taking a look at each city, taking a look at each zip code, look at many factors that we've seen developed over the last 6 months, over the last year. Now, the question would be, would the Office on Aging have the resources to conduct such a process, to do the interview of 2,500 to 3,000 people of course, would take substantial resources from Office on Aging. So that will be one factor that we will have to take a look at. But we're taking a look at developing questions for the participants, taking a look at those that are participating by a zip code basis. And that would help the Board of Supervisors find out where the weaknesses are and so forth. One of the highlights of the OC SPA report is taking a look at connections, many factors with the senior divide for Orange County. They came out substantially higher in positive connections than on a national average. So we are rich in resources, rich in people having computers. There are some weaknesses, but on the average, on a national basis, we do far exceed those average standards. Any questions, any additional comments from Tony or Carolyn? Tony's going to...
Can I say one thing, Dave? Rather than look at all 2,500 people, which would be fairly burdensome, if we were going to interview people, we'd probably want to select a sample. Find some way to sample that 2,500, and that would give us a pretty representative picture. We probably could look at data usage, because that could be automated, and we could look to see what 2,500 people, how they've used it, and then we could get some picture of that. So
we'll be working with Erica. I think we're going to have one-on-one contact with Erica, and maybe some of that information was included in her report to 4CA.
Yeah, I think we have to take a look at that the report by OC SPA and see what they've done and what their actual sources for that information was. I was kind of surprised. Just looking at that cursorily, what percentage of seniors really are using computers, which seemed to be extremely high, higher than I had seen, in other universities.
Yeah, it was about 97%, I think.
Yeah, it was very high, higher than what I had seen in looking other, university studies of seniors in other parts of the country. So maybe we're particularly gifted here in Orange County. I'm not sure.
Carolyn, you had your hand
I think also with the report, there was many resources that they highlighted at the end of the report. I think most of the data was probably developed through AARP on a national basis, but many, many other resources.
What's going on?
The cities were involved, the nonprofits. Many of the nonprofits were involved in the development of this report. Elaine, I'm sure you've been busy, probably haven't had much time to take a look at the report, but it's very interesting. They've done an excellent job over the last 2 or 3 years since the OC SPA developed.
Okay.
So any comments or have you?
Do you have the link or do you want to just send that to us afterwards?
I'll include the link in the chat or send that to you and you can distribute that.
Okay.
There is also a link to another resource. There was many maps involved in the report.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be interesting for people to take a look at too.
Okay.
And then many of the resources at the end of the report, if you go on there, you can actually click on the report and it will give you the full detail.
Okay.
It was probably, 75, 80 different resources that you can go and take a look at. Many from the Master Plan on Aging, some other national reports and so forth. So it's a wealth of knowledge, if nothing else, too.
Great. And I would say that if we were to propose...
Crazy.
The what's going crazy?
Oh, my computer's gone crazy. The screen's gone black. I can't see anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Your cats have gotten at it again.
I don't know. I can't even shut it off.
Well, we can still see you.
Yeah, I know. I can't see anything here. Oh my God! I'm gonna turn it off and.
That's what they call select appearing, Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I think before proposing any kind of expansion of the program to the Board of Supervisors, we would really want to have some data on how well this has worked or not worked. So there does need to be some kind of survey and data collection, I think, before we can make a sound recommendation.
Okay.
And I think we'd also want to know what piece of it do we want to recommend? Because when the iPads went out, they were, ready to go, and they came with a data plan. But that data plan does have an end date. And we also see towards the end, it almost seemed like our county was a little bit saturated with iPads. So maybe what needs to be focused on now is providing data plans to people so that they have that they can maintain connectivity, or those who may have a device but just don't have that connectivity. So, I think we should look at what, because there are different pieces to it. There's the hardware, there's the connectivity, there's the education on how to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So what piece of it is needed to go forward? And it may not necessarily be what we provided in the beginning.
Yeah. And I will tell you though, that the Get Set Up, I did a newsletter for my neighborhood of 400 people. And I put in there the Get Set Up and the iPad. No, this was past the iPad program. And I've gotten some very nice feedback from residents here saying, I've used it and I like it. I've used it. It's been, it hasn't just been some random YouTuber doing a spiel, that it's been very useful kind of information. So expanding that would also be good. Okay, Carolyn,
My question was on the previous action item, actually. So is this appropriate at this point?
Why don't you hold off on just one second? Because Dave was still...
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So I'll just include that contact information in the chat. And okay. Then we can also, who did you mail the report to, Elaine?
The from the OC SPA, I'm send it to all of SCAC.
Okay. So all those that are not members of SCAC but serve on the different committees would be the ones that did not.
Correct. Receive. So if there's any, because I don't have those distribution lists, so those standing committee chairs then need to send to anyone who's on their standing committee who's not a member of SCAC.
And I think it would be important for every chair to take a look at that report relative to their own committee too. But there are some areas that they're still following up on. One is housing and transportation. And the other is food distribution. So it's an excellent report and great information for every subcommittee of SCAC.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, any other questions for Dave? Thank you, Dave, to you and your committee for your work. Before we move on to the Elder Abuse Committee, Carolyn, what was your question?
I think I've asked it before, but I vote yes when we have the AB 361, but I think, and we have accomplished a great deal, both on SCAC and on this committee, doing it this way. However, I still think that we miss some important elements of our work by not getting in person. So is there any projection or prediction about when we might do that or what?
I'm going to ask Lillian and Desiree, have you heard anything? Or Elaine? Elaine, I think you're muted.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So we are looking at when we can have the full SCAC meet again in person, and the discussion at the executive board and with the standing committees has been that the standing committees, most of the members would prefer to continue to meet via Zoom because then they can have additional presentations that may not necessarily be able to do it in person. And they also have other committee members who are able to participate and not necessarily come in person. So when we can start meeting in person, we will start with the full SCAC. We do have, and in June, I'm speaking out both sides of my mouth. In June, we're dark, except we have to have the special meeting. And that will be virtual. But we already have a location reserved for the July 8th meeting to have an in-person full SCAC meeting. And that is dependent, though, upon the Orange County health officer, whether or not, and the word that we're getting is they're looking towards the end of the year. But we are reserving meeting spaces for the full SCAC from July through November in the hopes that at least the full group can meet, and then we will continue the standing committee meetings virtually. And that's also dependent on the governor's order, because unless there's any changes in the law, once the state of emergency is lifted from the state, then we do have to go back to in person. So, but that's the plan to move forward to, if it's at all possible for the full SCAC to meet in person and then continue with the virtual standing committees.
So will it be legal for the standing committees to stay virtual after, when there isn't a state of emergency anymore?
And at this point, not unless my understanding, again, I have to qualify that, my understanding is unless there's a change in state law, because we are a Brown Act committee.
So we don't have to go back personal when I'm in person?
No, when the state of emergency is lifted, we would have to.
That's what I thought.
Unless there was a change in state law, because we are a Brown Act committee.
Right, because it can come back too, we know that. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Dave has just posted in the chat a couple of web links, data map. Okay, thank you, Dave. Elaine.
Right, Desiree, if you could please capture those links and then email them out, because I don't know if anyone else, I always have a hard time. Once this meeting ends, I can't get what's in the chat.
I'm here.
Yes, of course, I'll do that.
Thank you very much.
It's easy to put a dot in the wrong place.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on to the Elder Abuse Subcommittee. Elizabeth, would you be so kind as to report what happened last month?
Well, I think you wanted to have our Elder Abuse Subcommittee go give information to the Board of Supervisors. And Elaine said, no. Lillian Maruta is working with you. And Lillian sent our little subcommittee email saying, regarding World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, ACL's National Center on Elder Abuse, NCEA, has created a WEAAD toolkit, which includes fact sheets, sample articles and proclamations, graphics, sample social media content, and more tips and tools. And there's a hyperlink, which is WEAAD, and then toolkit. So there is that. And then Lillian also sent a save the date, June 15th, 2022, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, resiliency and aging. Overcoming aging barriers, maintaining resiliency planning for the future, and preserving independency. And then it said registration and meeting link to follow. So the Office on Aging has all the information. There's nothing for us to send to the Board of Supervisors. That would be redundant and it would be pointless. So our little subcommittee group can be working with the committee, but we're not going to be sending anything to the Board of Supervisors. Elaine, could you?
Well, and the reason why that does not come from us is because this comes to the Board of Supervisors from social services, because it's elder, it's under their umbrella. So they already, they take the lead on that. So they have already done that and will coordinate with Erica's office on any information that needs to get out.
Okay, I just wanted, Elizabeth had brought to the SCAT committee the recommendation for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and that at that meeting, it was very clearly discussed and stated that there, that in, is it NCEA? NCEA is handling it. So there is, there are activities planned, and hopefully we will hear about them. And
well, and we can certainly, if Elizabeth or committee wants to prepare like an email with links or flyers, we can certainly get that information out through the senior center liaisons to the different senior centers. Just to create, so there's nothing saying that we can't help create awareness on it.
Right.
It's just, we are just not the body to take that to the Board of Supervisors because it's under the purview of one of their other offices. But we can certainly, you know, inform the senior centers and, you know, how they want to share that information with their participants.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And I want to credit to Lillian, who, whenever asked, really comes up with all the relevant information. Lillian, you've been great.
Yes, thank you. Thanks for bringing that up, Elizabeth. Let's move on to item 9, the legislative tracking. John has signed off. We have gotten his report a couple of months ago. I don't think anything changes really until the fall when they start, when you become active again. New membership, there are new members. Announcements and roundtable, is there anything you would like to announce? Any discussion?
Yes, this is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
I've been having trouble. I can't, my picture just doesn't come on.
Well, we can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Oh, I see. You were just saying that you're here.
Yeah, just.
Okay, all right. Any other announcements? Carolyn, your hand's up again.
This is an announcement. I just want to say to Elaine and to Sherry how awful it is what you've had to go through and the emotional drain as well as the hours with unforeseen and things happening. And I especially thought of you all weekend, Elaine. It must have been really unbelievably awful to have to deal with what you're doing. We know that you can do it, but that doesn't mean it was easy. So I wanted to give a shout out to both of you.
Thank you, Carolyn. That's really nice. I hope things are getting better in Laguna Niguel too.
Yeah, we have tragedy of Mother Nature and tragedy of man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's unfortunate. I've been watching you guys on television.
No better. Okay. So on to 12. public matters. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off agenda items unless authorized by law. We have two attendees. Desiree, would you check and see if either of them have some comments or questions?
Yes, of course. We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. There are two members of the public present. If you would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing none, Chair, but I know that Lillian has her hand up on our end. Lillian, do you need to address?
Yes, I do. Evelyn and Elizabeth, I just want to let you know that we just received some, the Elder Awareness Day, some stickers, and then the bookmarks are on its way. So if you'd like me to send them out to whomever, I'd be happy to do so. We got quite a few boxes here. So again, they are stickers for the WEAD, and also bookmarks are on its way.
Okay, I think we had discussed distribution through the Senior Center. Okay. So I'm not sure, is that a meeting that they actually go to every month that they would be available at?
This is just for the in celebration of that day for June 15th. We ordered some from the NCE, so they provided for us. So if you want me to send it to the senior centers, I'd be happy to distribute that.
Yeah. Lillian, when is the next meeting of the senior center directors? Logistically, it may be best to just take them to that meeting and give it to the senior center director.
I think they're still meeting virtually, Elaine. Okay. Yeah, I think they're still meeting virtually, if I'm not mistaken, but my counterpart is attending those meetings. So let me double check with them. But if they are meeting in person, which I don't, because last month she told me that they do it via Zoom as well. So let me double check. But if not, then I'll do that. But that's a great idea. Okay.
Because I'm just thinking logistically for us to get a physical thing to the senior centers may be a bit difficult. It may be more efficient to do it through staff.
Right, yeah. And if not, then I can get all the various addresses and maybe like send them out that way too as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I would think have them go straight to the senior centers rather than having the SCAC members play middleman in that.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that was, we heard, did we hear from the members of the public? No?
There were no hands raised now.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much. We will adjourn. Our next meeting of this committee is July 18th at 9:30, but please be ready to attend the June 10th meeting, which will be a Friday, for our renewals of the cyber meetings, and as well as for, are we going to actually have an agenda, Elaine? I think that's what you were saying.
Yeah, we'll have an agenda. So we'll do the meetings. We have to start and stop each meeting. Okay. So we'll do them. We're going to be doing all of the committees, but then for the full SCAC, we'll have the AB 361, and then we'll also have the CSL election.
The election, right. Okay, thank you. But I still see Lillian's hand up, but no. Okay, Dave's hand is up. You're muted, Dave.
I would just like to leave the meeting advising people that I just received a message saying tap to reset your Instagram password. Oh. So the scams happen while we actually meet.
But we meet talking about scams. Yeah.
So appropriate ending, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, thank you very much. Have a great month off, even though I'll see you in a few weeks. All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.